I'm Will Shires, and this is Talking Trucks. And this week, I'm at RH Commercial Vehicles in Nuneaton, and I'm in the cab of a Renault E-Tech D with Vertellus MD, Rhian Burrell. Now, Rhian took over the top job in January, replacing Nigel Baxter, who's now chairman. But she's no newcomer, having played a key role in launching Vertellus back in 2022, and more recently, serving as head of marketing. So, we'll be talking about Vertellus, the UK contract hire market, her plans for the business, and a bit about her too. Welcome, Rhian.
Hi, Will. Thank you.
Now, for listeners who aren't familiar with Vertellus, tell us exactly what it is.
So Vertellus is a full-service contract hire offer for national fleets. We are part-owned by Renault Trucks in the UK, so 40% owned by them, and 60% owned by seven of the main Renault Trucks dealer groups within the UK. So we're really here to facilitate kind of national contract hire for fleets with multiple depots across the country.
Okay, so how are you different to other contract hire companies?
Yeah, so I think it kind of comes mainly back to that ownership structure that I've just described there. So in being kind of 60% owned by the dealer network, we are able to kind of control the outcomes for our customers a lot better. Many of our competitors will be using kind of third-party service centres, and we don't. The very people that own the business are the ones that service the customers as well. So it really allows us to deliver kind of really high quality, exceptional service, consistent standards, and kind of control and care in every contract, no matter where the customers are operating.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Now, when people hear Vertellus, they often think electric trucks, and of course, like I just said, we're sat in an electric truck now. But that's not all you do. What does the actual full mix of vehicles on the fleet look like today?
Yeah, so we have a combined total fleet of around 3,500 vehicles. And that is a real mix of everything from 2.7 tonne up to 44 tonne in both diesel and electric. And actually right now, the mix of electric versus diesel in that fleet is more in favour of diesel today. We'll see that change over the coming years. But right now, that's where we're at.
Okay, so looking at that 2.7 to 44 ton mix, the majority are trucks rather than vans, are they? Or
No, it's a fairly even split. I think by nature, the type of customers that we're dealing with are national, and therefore they have a need for a mix of every type of vehicle. So there is a kind of fairly even split of LCV, rigid, and tractor units within that.
Okay, now tell us about the name Vertellus, because I think I'm right in saying you were heavily involved in the start of the whole thing, weren't you?
I was, yeah. So the name Vertellus kind of comes from two words, really. Vert is green in French, and tellus is the Latin word for earth. So green earth is kind of where it stemmed from. And obviously that kind of sits with one of our core principles of sustainability, this transformation and the move to electrification is where that originally stemmed from.
Okay, right. Let's start by having a chat about the contract hire market in general at the moment. How are things? How is the market?
The market is one in transition, I would say, at the moment. I think over the recent kind of years, we've seen a number of providers exit the market from a contract hire perspective, or kind of be taken up by a different offering. And I think, understandably, that's created potentially a little bit of a confidence knock with some of the operators that were adversely affected by that. We all know that registrations have been down over the past couple of years, so the market isn't the easiest at the moment. But I think those things combined give us at Vertellus a really strong opportunity, because we are OEM backed, to kind of come forward with a proposition that is really beneficial to operators. So although the market is a bit soft at the minute, I think, there is also some good opportunity coming from it.
Okay. Do you think the market's kind of settled now? Are we expecting to see any more exits, or do you think things are more stable?
It's difficult to say. I think the market's going to continue to evolve, align with everything that's happening with in terms of decarbonisation and moving to electrification as well. So I think how the market looks now versus how it looks in 5 years, it probably is going to be quite different. How it's different is tricky to say at the moment.
Okay, now obviously there's a bit of economic uncertainty out there at the moment. Are customers behaving differently? Are they looking for more flexibility than they were a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think flexibility is key to many operators. With there being so much uncertainty, people want to be able to scale up and scale down as they need to for their operation. I think we're probably seeing more operators delaying kind of replacement cycles as much as they can at the moment until things potentially start to settle down a little more. But I think moving forward, even without kind of the wider kind of geopolitical stuff that's going on at the moment, flexibility is going to be core for operators moving forwards.
Yeah, okay. Right, well, we're going to talk about electric. That's the key thing here. But first of all, do you want to tell us something about the actual truck we're sat in?
Yeah, so we're sitting right now in one of our Frid units from our EV Discovery programme. So it's a Renault Trucks E-Tech D-Wide. On it has a refrigerated body with a body from Solomons. It also has a Carrier Frid unit and then a 1.5-ton Delandia tail lift. You can see here we've got some of the digital kind of screens and dashboards, so it makes for a really nice driving experience and is perfect unit for kind of urban and regional refrigerated deliveries.
Yeah, okay. So are customers coming to you specifically for electric, or are we talking about existing customers and you're kind of ramming these down their throat, so to speak?
No, there's no ramming down throats. Again, it's a real mix. We are finding probably a majority are coming to us to talk about electric because at the moment that is what we are most well known for, particularly with the EV Discovery program when it launched being market leading. But oftentimes what that leads to is actually they talk to us about electric, they are interested in kind of dipping their toe in the water, but it then opens up a conversation about the wider fleet with diesel very much included in that too. On the other hand, you've got some operators that simply aren't ready or not in the space to go with electric yet, so they are coming to us to talk about diesel first and foremost. So it's a mix.
Yeah, okay. Now, that EV Discovery programme, that's changed, hasn't it, since the launch? I think the terms got longer, the rental terms got longer, didn't they?
They did, yeah. So when it launched, it was a 3-month rental, but we very quickly realised that actually 3 months doesn't really give operators enough time to truly test these vehicles in their operation, understand how they work in different weathers, on different routes, with different drivers and different loads. So we extended it then to a 12-month programme to actually give people a real-world insight into how it works for their operation.
Okay, and then at the end of that 12 months, can they actually buy the vehicle they've just had?
Yeah, at the end of the 12 months the options are open to them, so we're here to support whether they want to outright purchase, whether they want to take a new one on a longer term contract hire, or if there is availability within the program, some have then extended to do a second year of a trial. So what we would say to operators is whatever the outcome is, whatever way you want to go next, talk to us about it and we're here to facilitate that.
Okay, and they definitely do actually learn a lot more from operating it than simply chatting to someone and looking through the brochures or the website.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's real world experience, isn't it? Actually getting in one of these things, putting it into practice in their individual operation, seeing how it works for their routes, their drivers. You're going to get way more insight out of that than anything that you could get in either a short demo or a brochure, for sure.
And are most people finding it a pleasant experience? Is it, are they going into this process with worries which have been sorted, having had it for a year, or are they learning other issues that they didn't know existed?
Yeah, I think often there's a misconception from many operators going, this is not going to work for me. It's not going to work for us properly. It might do a bit. It's not going to do all of it. And what we're finding typically at the end of the trials, or even fairly early into the trials, to be honest, is that they're surprised by actually how much it can do. It can do more than they thought. It can absolutely facilitate a lot of their journeys, if not all of them, as long as it's carefully planned around the routes that will work for it. And the drivers love it. They give really positive feedback every time. They're almost fighting about who's going to get the electric truck that day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Overall, it's a really positive experience. And then we're fully supported with this EV Discovery program as well. So it's not just a case of we hand them the truck, give them the keys and off we go. It's got all of the Optifleet data in the background. Our teams from Vitellus are there, as well as the local dealer teams, as well as Renault Trucks and the OEM. So it's fully supported to help them get the most out of the experience.
So what are the biggest misconceptions? Is it around charging, around range, or like you said about driver acceptance?
It's a little bit of everything. I think range is always the key one, making sure that it can do the routes that it needs to do and do the drops and deliveries. But we have route analysis tools that kind of enabled to help providers to work out what works before they even take one. And I think I was talking to our sales director the other day, and he said 80% of routes in the UK currently could be done using an electric vehicle. Oh, wow. So, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're absolutely fine to do that.
So roughly, I don't need exact figures, but what percentage of companies that take one of these will actually go ahead and purchase one or more?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to give you a percentage, I don't think. But we're seeing an increasing number of operators now either extending or ordering new. And we have actually developed a further offer for operators that have taken a 12-month trial and it's been successful for them. We now have a 5-year offer where we've tried to keep the pricing as close as we can to the 12-month one.
Okay.
To then extend that out, order new, get the latest battery technology, the latest vehicles, and take it for a 5-year.
Yeah, and of course, leasing it for 5 years takes away the worry of residual values,
yep.
Which of course is a big issue for someone looking to buy an electric truck.
Yeah, of course, and that's the beauty of contract hire for operators, isn't it? Is that the residual value risk, it sits with us rather with them.
Yeah. Now, of course, the truck is one thing, and we know they are good. They do exactly as they're supposed to do. But charging is a challenge. And do you help the customers with the charging aspect?
Yeah, absolutely. So specifically with the EV Discovery Programme, we are partnered with Zenobi, and they provide a portable charger as part of the overall offer and the package, and that's fully supported by them for the duration of the hire. Aside from that, we work with Renault Trucks UK, and we also work with a number of their partners and our partners on kind of larger infrastructure and charging projects as well. So we're absolutely there to consult. It's not a case of we give you the truck and we don't worry about anything else. We are there to provide the full service and support operators with that.
Yeah, okay. And do you think once the public charging infrastructure improves, the take-up is going to be greater?
Yeah, I think public infrastructure needs to improve, and there are more and more popping up over the country now as we see it. We're monitoring that closely, so that absolutely will help. But I think where we kind of, particularly within the rigid market, are seeing, it's kind of the out and back deliveries where they just need the depot charging set up. And for those that typically nobody's going to be transitioning their entire fleet in one go, they're going to be doing a portion of that. And for those that are doing a portion of it, more often than not, they have the capability and the capacity from the grid at their locations to be able to get that set up fairly easily without too much big upfront investment. It's only then when you're looking at doing kind of the entire fleet that you're going to come into much bigger conversations.
Yes,
on that.
So what does the electric fleet look like? Is it just rigids, or have you got some tractors in there as well?
Yeah, no, we're operating tractors, rigids, and actually LCVs as part of the electric fleet at the moment as well.
Okay.
So because it, as I've said, the customers that we're really dealing with are national, and they therefore have a mix of vehicles within their fleet. We are supporting them with a mix of electric through all of it.
Brilliant. Okay, and with the rigids, we're talking boxes, curtains, and
fridges
as, yeah, well, aren't we?
Absolutely.
So the rigids, I'm assuming, are proven as popular for the reasons we've just said, you know, back to base, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But is the uptake on the tractors increasing?
Yeah, definitely. So we've partnered with, we're part of the ZHID program as well with the tractor units. So I think we've got 10 or 11 units that are all about to start hitting the road in the next few months from a tractor perspective. So yeah, there are more and more starting to take those for the longer haul deliveries.
Yeah, and of course Renault is on the cusp of launching a long range tractor. I think I saw it at Solutrends last year.
Yeah,
it comes to market later this year, I think.
It does, yes.
And that's got the e-axle, and I can't remember what the range is now, but it's something amazing.
Yeah, at the moment the tractor unit range is somewhere between 400 and 450 kilometres is what we're seeing.
So those first electric trucks, I remember going to the launch in 2022.
Yeah.
And I think it was 30 rigids you were taking to begin with. So Where are they 4 years on? Are they still on the fleet? Have they been disposed of?
Yeah, no, they are still very much on the fleet. I think the thing to remember with the EV Discovery Programme is discovery is the key word. And do operators need the absolute latest technology to in order kind of to discover if electric works for them? I would say probably not. Actually, there's lots of life left in the vehicles that we've got and in the battery technology that is on the trucks, that one of which we're sitting in today. So these have still got lots of life left to enable operators to discover. Are we monitoring the fleet? Will we look to upgrade it over time? Absolutely. But whilst there's still life in them and they're still doing the job they need to do, they are all still on the fleet.
I see. Okay. And then when it does come to disposal, is there a market for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the market is obviously not mature. We've not seen enough come off of hire yet to be able to really kind of match, for example, the diesel traditional second-hand market. But the beauty that we have is with the backing of Renault Trucks and the OEM, they're very much looking into kind of the circularity of the batteries and how to give the vehicles a second life. And they have also recently seen some success with selling second-hand electrics in a used market. So there's a long way to go with establishing what that market really looks like, but the right kind of steps are being made and success is being had from selling in the second-hand market for EV.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Now, I wanted to talk about you as well, because I'm assuming when you were at school, the careers advisor didn't say, oh, you need to be running a contract hire company. What was the plan, and how did you end up in this industry?
Well, this was not the plan, so that's that's fair to say. I was a theatre kid at school, so drama school and performing and all of that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then I kind of went to university, studied to do music and TV production there.
Wow, this is a long way from that, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Fell into marketing after that, which kind of then led me through a kind of career ladder of climbing the ranks in some marketing agencies and client-side marketing roles. In 2022, I set up my own marketing business with my good friend and then business partner, and we ran that for 4 years, and that's the point in which Vitellus first came into our lives.
I see.
So we were appointed as the agency to develop the name, the branding, do the launch event, everything that went along with it there. So I ran that business for 4 years, and then for a number of reasons, we had to wind that down. And within a couple of weeks was talking to the team at Vitellus about coming over to head up their marketing function. So started that in January 2025. Very quickly started looking at the wider business, not just from a marketing angle. And I think that's kind of the sign of a true marketeer, is being able to join the dots of every part of the business and see how it all comes together.
Yeah.
A whirlwind 12 months later, and MD as of January 1st this year.
Yeah, fantastic. Taken over from Nigel Baxter, as I said in the introduction. So did you learn much from Nigel?
Yeah, loads from Nigel. Nigel and I have worked closely together the whole time I've been working here, and we continue to. Nigel really leads with intuition, so we have a lot of conversations around what feels right for the business at any given time and kind of intuitive decision making. He's very rational, very calm, very open to new ideas. And his ability to bring people who are potentially in different books onto the same page is something I'm really trying to kind of learn from him. Work really closely with him, but he also gives us the space and he kind of trusts us enough to get on with the jobs that we've said we're going to do.
Got you. So in your new role then, what changes are you implementing? Any?
Yeah, lots. I think what I'm bringing to this is just trying to think about it a little bit differently. We are a growing business and we're not going to continue to grow if we stand still and do things the way they've always been done. So I'm trying to build a team that feel empowered to make decisions, make changes, act quickly, and just create a culture where we have a bit of fun doing that also, because we spend a lot of time together, and just develop the business in the way that is right for it, logical for it, sensible for it, but that will drive growth.
Yeah, excellent. Now, the industry's changed a lot over the 25 years I've been in it, and we're seeing a lot more women in senior roles, but still nowhere near enough. From your perspective, how do we attract more women into the sector?
Yeah, I mean, I think even the way the question's framed in terms of having to talk about it as women suggests there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, you know what? I even asked ChatGPT whether I should be asking that question.
I think for me, it's about having the right people for the job. So it shouldn't be a box ticking exercise or a diversity target to make sure we have X amount of women, X amount of, it should just be if you're right for the job, you get the job and we grow the business together. In terms of how we do that and we get more women in, representation is really important. If you can see someone like you doing that type of job, you can imagine yourself doing it a lot better. So I think, and being flexible also is the other thing, you know, flexible working patterns as much as possible that is right for the individual and for the business, representation, but ultimately it's the right person for the job.
Yeah. See, it's not just females, it's young people in general. The industry just isn't on their radar, is it? Yeah, there's so many amazing opportunities, as you've discovered, coming from a completely different background.
Yeah, there's loads of amazing opportunities. And to anyone thinking about kind of wanting to join the industry, I would say absolutely go for it. We're at a time of absolute transformation, and that's really exciting. And what we're doing matters more than ever now. I think from a young person perspective, make sure you're curious, go and learn as much as possible, find a mentor to help you and guide you through that's got loads of experience, be confident. And I think from a female perspective, you know, sometimes still now we do have to talk a bit louder, we do have to stand a bit taller, and it's just make sure you do that, because actually our voices as females matter. We can bring a perspective to the automotive industry that is important. And I think we can do all of that while still leading with empathy, leading with emotional intelligence and all of the things that make females what we are.
Yeah, fantastic. Wise words. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.